97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim, I would describe the weather outside this morning as balmy. It feels like a July morning.
I love it.
70 degrees outside this morning.
I know. It was great. Well, we're going to have a drop on Halloween. Isn't it supposed to get into the 30s?
I don't know.
All day.
Yeah.
No,
it's supposed to rain part of the day.
Dry at night when they're trick-or-treating. Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm... I got to go see Dr. Green today, and I know that's rough because it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny, a little windy maybe, you know. With my golf game, that doesn't matter, but somebody's got to do it. And my friend John invited me. I'm going to go play Old Hickory today at this morning, and, you know, I'll take one for the team today.
Didn't you just have an appointment pretty recently with Dr. Green?
No,
how many appointments do you need, Mark?
This is not true. It's been a while since I was out there. Probably sometime in September, in fact, I believe, the last time. So it's been a while.
It's funny. That's the one doctor's appointment that men don't want to miss, right? They're willing to make multiple appointments throughout the year. The wife doesn't have to say, honey, have you made your appointment this year? Yes, I have. Yeah. I've made about 10 appointments.
I have. You know, I mean, it's good for you. Out, fresh air. I mean, sunshine. This time of year, how could you beat that?
A golf game a day keeps the doctor away. That's what they say, right?
And the thing is, we planned this 2 weeks ago. So had we been off by a day, like if we'd planned it on Wednesday, it would have been kind of potentially crappy and rainy. And now this is perfect. So
I'm really happy for you, Mark.
Thank you, Kim. I knew you would be. I knew you, my wife was very happy with me too. Why are you golfing? Just because it's a nice day? I'm like, no, I'm golfing because I'm golfing, and it just happens to be a nice day. So what is there to complain about? All right, we got lots of good stuff for you today. We're gonna talk among other things to Mary Catherine Martin on Amendment 3. Because she is with the Thomas More Society. This thing continues to, I listen to the ads that air on there, those heart-wrenching ads with the moms looking in there claiming they couldn't get a DNC because of this awful law in Missouri, which we both know is a complete fabrication, complete lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me crazy what they're getting away with. And there are now some ads running in opposition to Amendment 3, but every bit of polling I see, even from what are fairly middle-of-the-road districts, so in other words, districts that will probably go Republican for the Senate and House candidates that are running, even in those districts, this Amendment 3 is still winning in the polls, in the polls that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
around Missouri. And I just don't understand that.
I don't think a lot of people have taken the time to read the language. I really don't, because I think that the vast majority would be against it. But when you read the language that you're going to read on the ballot, it's not even close to being accurate what it will actually do.
I agree. And my surprise here, just let me say, my surprise is here. Here's what you're telling me. So you're going to go to the polls, and according to the pollsters, you've told them you're going to support the Republican candidate in this race. So the Republican candidate is winning in this race. But while you're at the polls, you're going to vote for unlimited abortion up until birth. That's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. If you're really that twisted that you're going to go vote for unrestricted abortion up until birth, why are you supporting the Republican candidate? You should be probably voting for the Democrat.
Right.
This is not there's not an equivalency here. I don't understand that. I don't know how you can claim to be a Republican and or a conservative and yet vote that way on Amendment 3. This is not a simple question. This is a complicated ballot issue that changes the Missouri Constitution. There are ways to elect people who are going to potentially moderate that law, if that's what you're concerned about, without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
I also don't think you can say you're a Christian and vote in favor of this. I just don't. I'm going to be very blunt about it. I was so appreciative. My church spent the entire service on Sunday talking about abortion.
Good.
And talking about what Amendment 3 will do here in Missouri, the entire service.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue to talk about it. Mary Catherine's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour today, so be sure and stay tuned for that. Of course, we'll keep talking about the voter's guide. I will say, if you if you missed the show yesterday for some reason, I'm going to keep pushing this. If you missed the show yesterday for some reason, you haven't gone back and listened to the podcast, you have got to go listen to the interview we did with our friend Evelyn. Everyone that I'm talking to who's listened to this has been blown away. I talked to Evelyn yesterday. She was worried that she got too carried away because she's so emotional about the issues in this election. She is an immigrant from Africa who's moved here 15, 16 years ago, didn't speak the language, didn't have any money, had two young children. Today she owns a home, she owns a car, she's living the American dream, and she's angry at the open border and the people that want to just not have borders in this country. She doesn't understand that. I would highly encourage you to go back to the podcast from yesterday and listen to Evelyn. She's passionate about living the American dream. Here's an example of it.
When we moved here, I bought a house. I bought my own house. Can you imagine that? I bought a brand new car. So that's the American dream we are talking about. When you work hard, you put your everything into it. You know, you don't complain. I'm not oppressed. No one did any harm to me when I came here. I'm a free citizen, you know.
Yeah, I put a link on Facebook. I tweeted it out this morning, the link to that interview. Share it with people. Everybody who's going to go to the voting booth, Democrat, Republican, otherwise, needs to hear how passionate this new citizen of the United States is. This person that came here legally, how passionate she is about this country. And contrast that with what you're hearing from the Democratic Party leading up to this election. The doom, the gloom, the you don't have a chance unless I'm elected to give you free handouts kind of attitude. It's ridiculous. Just compare and contrast that. I would challenge you. Please go listen to that interview yesterday with Evelyn that we did here on the show. Again, I tweeted it out on X. It's on the there's a link on the Facebook page, or you can just go pick up the podcast from yesterday, and it's on there at 971talk.com or on the Odyssey app, whatever you'd prefer to do. Carl, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist. One thing we have noticed in the last couple days, this is not all of the polls that are out there now, but we have seen a number, 4 in the last 4 days, potentially meaningful movement in Trump's direction.
Needless to say, NBC not happy to have to report that, but that was Steve Kornacki breaking the bad news to Kristen Welker.
What would your first 100 days look like?
Well, it's going to be lowering costs and a package of legislation that is about lowering costs, again, on the issue of housing, small businesses.
Yeah, we're going to lower costs. I don't know how we're going to do that exactly, but we're going to introduce a bill that would lower costs. You've been in office 1,500 days, and you've not done anything to lower costs.
The by-mail vote request and the 4 weeks of absentee in person was minimal. And so we thought that there was a low voter intensity for this election. Lo and behold, they were simply waiting until these 2 weeks.
Dope. Kurt Barr there, Director of Elections, St. Charles County. That would be a swing and a miss, my friend. The lines continue to be long. I continue to hear people waiting an hour and a half, 2 hours in line to vote. I know somebody went to St. Louis County yesterday and waited an hour and a half to vote. It's crazy. If you're not planning to vote early, you're making a big mistake here, because if only 20% of the vote is in before Election Day, what's going to happen when the other 80% go to the polls? The lines are going to be incredible. Don't miss your chance to vote.
First Alert 4 had been asking police why there were delays in releasing the full report. Monday, it was uploaded to their records website.
Yep, there you have it. How about that? That is the St. Louis Police Department has finally released the supposedly the full report on the performing arts school shooting.
400 plus pages.
2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what is still not in it? the manifesto.
Well, I was reading about how they referred to a notebook that he had supposedly written, and they're calling that the manifesto, saying that he was going to try to target the LGBTQ community and that he wanted to burn down his own home with his family inside.
Yeah. So I've wondered about how to deal with this exactly, but I'm going to share some information with you when we come back from this commercial break that I've learned from sources regarding that so-called manifesto. And it would explain a lot as to why it's taken 2 years and why they're still not releasing the whole thing, right? Because the first thing that happened was the LGBTQXYZLMNOP crowd jumped up and said, "Ooh, look at us. We're victims." When that is not the case, apparently, or not the full story. So I'll share with you what I've learned, and you can take it for what it's worth. And, you know, quite frankly, shame on the PC crowd for covering this up for so long. And now we know exactly why, for purely political reasons, just like in Nashville, they held this for so long. It's now the patently obvious, blatantly obvious, I should say, why they withheld this information. Carl Middleman, who's got our national anthem today?
So last night was the World Series in New York City, and three people sent this to me last night after it happened.
Okay.
Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton sang the national anthem.
If you have followed First Alert 4's coverage of this tragedy, much of what was released in this incredibly lengthy report, we have already reported. This police report does detail the shooter's motivations, who he planned to target, including students, teachers, even the LGBT community. The victim's family members previously telling us they're hoping what can be learned from the release of these records will help prevent another mass shooting.
We can't change what happened, but we can try and do everything we can to stop it from happening again.
First Alert 4 had been asking police why there were delays in releasing the full report. Monday, it was uploaded to their records website. In it, detailed timelines, but also an outline of Harris's manifesto and his motives on who he was going to target specifically, teachers, students, and the LGBT community. First Alert 4 Investigates has had a copy of Harris's actual writings, which had included schematics of the building, a plan to take the lives of his own family in a fire, and a countdown to the actual day.
Interesting what they didn't include, and they didn't release the whole manifesto. And I thought that was interesting, because as that piece goes on, they went out and they talked to members of the LGBTQ community who feel like, you know, they were the victims here. They were targeted. I don't know that anybody who was killed in this shooting, correct me if I'm wrong, was considered part of the LGBTQ community, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know that that's it. Now, in his manifesto, he apparently didn't mention them. Of course, Missouri's LGBTQ public policy and advocacy organization said there's a direct correlation to the violence like this and state legislators who use anti-trans and LGBTQ rhetoric. Let's just tell the truth about what's gone on here. Sources tell me that the reason they haven't released the full manifesto is that this guy identified as a member of the LGBTQXYZLMNOP community.
There it is.
He identified as non-binary, and he identified as an incel. You know what an incel is? I had to look it up.
Never heard of it.
An incel is a member of an online community of young men who consider themselves unable to attract women sexually and are hostile toward men and women who are sexually active. So he was a non-binary incel. In other words, a nut job. And that's why he did what he did. He's a criminal. Release the full report. We'll be back with Kim on a Whim in a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
How stressed out do you feel leading up to this election? Because now we're officially 1 week out. You turn the TV on, you're going to see ads. You look on social media now, you're going to see ads. This article that I have pulled up in front of me as I'm talking to you right now, there's an ad on it saying vote yes on Amendment 3 here in Missouri about abortion.
Yes.
You can't go anywhere without seeing an ad. People are talking about this more than I feel like usually you might have people talking about it during an election cycle. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but it just feels like this particular year is just so contentious.
I agree with you completely. The thing that I do, because I've been doing this a long time, and I get invested quite a bit emotionally in winning and losing.
You,
and
Mark Cox?
Who wins and what? Who loses. I've decreased my stress levels. I'm going to see Dr. Green today to talk more about that. And to take my frustration out on that little white ball, which will help. But beyond that, I know as of next Tuesday, I've done all that I physically and mentally can do to prepare people for this election. I have. I've talked about it. I've been honest about it. I put the facts out there in the voter guide. It's in the people's hands. If they don't get off their lazy rear ends and go vote, that's the only reason my guy doesn't win these races. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, it's out of my hands. I feel sorry for the future of the country if we lose, but I don't know what else to do. So, yeah, I'm a little stressed.
I think a lot of people are feeling stressed right now. I'll admit that I'm stressed because the way I look at it, no matter what happens, it's going to be chaos. Because if Kamala wins, well, that's self-explanatory. If Trump wins, though, I think there could be potential violence in the streets. Yes. I think that's how angry people are going to be. Well, the American Psychological Association, I guess, they did some study on this. This is as of August. They were saying politics was the leading cause of stress for 7 out of 10 adults across party lines. They're saying a large majority say the future of the nation is a significant source of stress in their lives. 80% of Republicans rated it as the top stressor, 79% of Democrats, and 73% of independents. I think a lot of people are feeling like, what the heck is going to come of this country? You know, they were also talking about the end to democracy. You know, if something happens with the election and somehow Donald Trump wins, that it's an end to democracy. And they also talked about that. It said that, let's see here, it was a high majority of course, Democrats who were freaking out that basically the country was going to be over if Trump wins. Let's see here. Yeah, at a different poll, they were saying 79% of respondents reported that the presidential election made them feel anxious this year, and more than half about the election every day. Even apparently suicidal calls have gone up. I mean, people are really struggling with this, losing friends over it, because it's gotten to the point where you can't even talk about a lot of these issues with people if you don't agree with them.
Right. No,
even,
I agree.
Even on Amendment 3. Well, I found account. Oh my gosh, that's the word I'm searching for. Account on Instagram called Good News Movement. And it's a former journalist, and Mark, you can probably relate to this, who said that she was frustrated feeling like she kept pitching good news stories to her news director and they would always get shut down. Now, I'm a firm believer in that sometimes you need to hear the truth, and the truth can be hard to hear, okay? So you can't just hear stories about ponies and, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, you have to tell the news, but I do have a problem with some of the stories that the news decides to show. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't need to know about every little shooting that happens in North City. And it's not that I don't care about North City, but like, come on, like, that happens all the time, multiple times a day. But their whole thing is, if it bleeds, it leads. Like, if there's video they can get that shows police lights and investigators walking around with flashlights, they're going to make sure they show it. And I think when you couple those types of news stories that we're seeing on our feed with all the stress that comes with what's happening right now with this election, people are losing their collective minds. They want to just bury themselves in a hole. Anyway, I've not fully vetted this account. It has 5.6 million followers, by the way, on Instagram. Good News Movement. But I did watch several videos. And Carl, we don't have to play the whole clip, but I wanted to just play this really sweet story. If you're looking for some good news and you want to get away from all this junk that you're seeing all the time, you know, with vote yes, da, 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 listen to this. It's cute.
Since I haven't gotten paid yet, I'm still waiting for those guys. What I'm going to do is, I've got some cash with me, but I don't know if I'm going to have enough. So what we should do is this. We'll start out with taking any part of this that you need to see how much we can get for this.
I have something for you. This is for you. This is a little gift. I know your birthday is this month, right? I saw it on your ID. We put together a little fundraiser, and we came up with some money for you.
Oh, my gosh.
You can open it.
I could kiss you. God bless you. Should I open it now?
Yeah, go ahead. You might not have to do your other jewelry.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's $1,300 there.
You can't do it. I can't let you do this.
Yeah.
You are an angel in disguise. You
know, I know you're struggling. I know you're trying to take care of your wife. And I appreciate your service.
There was a 90-year-old veteran who was trying to pawn jewelry because he didn't have money to pay rent and care for his wife, who has dementia. Wow. And they surprised him and raised all this money. I could have set that up better. But, I mean, those are the kinds of stories you're going to see. And it is important. I think you need to know the facts. You need to know about what is involved, for example, in Amendment 3. Even though it's very hard and maybe stressful for you to go over all of that, there are things you should not be shying away from, even if it stresses you out to hear about it. But every now and then, it is nice to get a little bit of a mental break.
Sure.
And hear stuff like that so that you don't lose your mind. Because people are seriously losing their minds. The posts I see from friends, I mean, they're getting more and more hostile by the day.
Oh, they're getting worked up.
And it's usually from the left. I'm not saying it doesn't happen from the right, but I'm just saying it seems like the really intense posts that am seeing are from the left.
These people on the left are completely out of their minds. I survived Bill Clinton being president. I survived 2 terms of Barack Hussein Obama being president. And now I'm barely surviving 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being president and vice president. 12 of the last 16 years, your party has had control in this country, minus the 4 years Donald Trump was in office when you lost your collective minds. If he gets back in office, the country's not going anywhere. It'll still be here when he leaves office.
And he will leave office, by the way.
Of course he will. Silliest garbage I've ever heard in my life. The Nazi stuff, all of this is to gin up fear among their base, the crazy pink hat wearers, which are the ones you see on Facebook, who are now freaking out.
Listen to this, Mark. That same study I referenced said that 54% of adults say they have little to no trust in the U.S. government. Listen to this one. 41% say the state of the nation has made them consider moving to a different country.
Let's start a fund. I think if, unlike the reparations fund, if you had a fund that you could voluntarily donate to help people move the hell out of the country, we would put together quite a GoFundMe there, don't you think?
No, I agree. Yeah. 46% wouldn't date someone who didn't share the same political opinions. I'll be honest with you. For example, I would never date someone who didn't share the same moral values that I have. Like, that was number one. But here's the thing. Me being a Christian tends to lend, like, I'm going to be pro-life. I'm going to have certain values. So I can't imagine dating someone who didn't share those. So I feel like, anyway, I don't understand how you could have polar opposite beliefs and be together. That would be very difficult. 82% are worried that people are basing their values and opinions on false or inaccurate information. And really, it's both sides that believe that, right? Because the left, you hear them say, oh, disinformation, that's the term they like to say. But really, it's our side, too, that's saying that Kamala's spewing fake information and dangerous rhetoric talking about Trump being a Nazi.
But she is.
So everyone is stressed out. Guys, we have 1 week left. Go follow this account if you need a mental break. And just, you know, I understand. Trust me when I tell you, I get it. Not everyone listening to the show is a Christian. I'm not trying to push my beliefs on you. All I'm telling you is, you know, my church, and I've said this, they deep dive into some of these issues because they're biblical, right? They're not just trying to get into politics. And what I can take solace is they always make a point of saying, guys, this is my belief. Jesus is still going to be on the throne. Like, it's not, the life isn't over if Kamala Harris wins. I mean, yes, we're going to have some challenges, but life will go on no matter who wins.
My recommendation, my prescription would be a good glass of whatever makes you relax and the Mark Cox voter guide. Take those two things, sit down, study the guide, go vote early. It'll all be okay. I'm feeling at peace with it at this point. We've done all we can do, and we'll continue to talk about it between now and next Tuesday. There is a fundraiser going on. Kim's mentioned it in the news for the officer from Ferguson who was injured, and we're going to tell you more about that and where you can go today to get some great food and contribute to that. We'll be right back.
Well, I think it was everything that you need to know about Donald Trump in one weird white nationalist Nazi type rally. And of course, there's historic parallels to where and when this happened.
Yeah, I'm kind of stress-free, Kim, based on your whim there. But man, Mika Brzezinski is worked up. And these same hypocrites on the left completely ignore the fact that Bill freaking Clinton held a rally at Madison Square Garden with a huge crowd. But it wasn't a Nazi rally because it was Bill Clinton. Might have been an intern rally, but it wasn't a Nazi rally.
How does holding a rally at Madison Square Garden instantly make it a rally? Just because Hitler did doesn't mean that anybody else who does makes it a Nazi rally.
Utter the word Hitler, unless the person you're accusing it of has mass murdered 6 million Jews, you have lost the argument because you're a liar. All of these people on the left are liars. They're getting all it is an attention grab, and it's their talking point for the next 5 days. Hitler, 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 Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. It's crap. I've been a conservative and a Republican all of my life. I don't know anybody who believes in any of that stuff. It's garbage. And they're the socialists. The Nazi Party was socialist. Democrats are far closer to socialism than anything Republicans have ever done. So that, first of all, is and the other talking point they're hitting this week is that awful joke that Tony Hinchcliffe told about Puerto Rico. And apparently he's not allowed to do that because, you know why, Kim? He's white. And he doesn't live in Puerto Rico. Now, if he lived in Puerto Rico, then he could tell that joke. But because he doesn't live in Puerto Rico, he's not allowed to tell. A comedian is not allowed to tell that joke. Listen.
And, used to be able to tell people to Google stuff. My mom's a boomer in the state of Ohio, and there's no convincing her of anything. She's eating the cats. She's eating the dogs. They're eating the pets up there. It is absolutely wild times. It really, really is. And, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting there. Again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody.
So even the crowd kind of booed at the bad joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. But he's a comedian. Listen to what George Lopez said at the Kamala Harris rally this week. But it's okay, apparently, because George Lopez is Hispanic.
Donald Trump said he was going to build a wall. And George Lopez said, you better build it in one day, because if you leave that material out there overnight.
I'd say that joke was kind of met with a lack of applause,
yeah.
Right? But nobody's complaining about that. If Tony Hinchcliffe had joked about that, he would be run out of the room because he's white.
Well, I looked up this morning and CNN said it was interviewing Puerto Ricans in response to the joke to see how they're reacting.
Listen to Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart is the only one I've seen, because he's a comedian, who was honest about this. Listen.
Yes, yes, of course. Terrible boo, yes. there's something wrong with me. I find that guy very funny. So, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, bringing him to a rally and have him not do roast jokes, that'd be like bringing Beyonce to a rally and not have... Oh.
He's like, this guy's a roast comedian. Did you watch him at the Tom Brady roast? You should go back and look at the highlights. If not, Google it if you're a boomer. Google it, because it was nasty. He attacked everyone. Everybody laughed. But he's a comedian, and they've completely lost their sense of humor You know why? Because they're losing. And they're panicked on the left right now. That's what you need to know. We'll talk about that fundraiser for the Ferguson officer coming up at the top of the next hour. We'll get to Senator John Lamping on some of these statewide amendments. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.